A house is on the market in a part of rural central Florida with a complicated history. It's a once lively community called Rosewood. The community was largely populated by African American families, but on New Year's Day in 1923, a dispute led to a massacre of at least 8 people. Some estimates put that number much higher, and most of Rosewood's homes were destroyed. The house for sale is the only house still standing in Rosewood. It's known as the John Wright House, named for its white owner, who at the time of the massacre opened his doors to people fleeing the violence. University of Central Florida professor Edward Gonzalez Tennant is part of an effort to buy the John Wright House and turn it into a museum. He joins us now. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And remind us, first of all, there was a movie about this massacre that occurred, but tell us about what happened at Rosewood.
So Rosewood was a historical African-American community. It was a place during the late 1800s and early 1900s where African-Americans owned their own businesses, owned their own homes at rates much higher than locally, regionally, or even across the country. And so this community was the setting for a week-long episode of violence that has become sort of commonly referred to as the Rosewood race riot or Rosewood massacre, mm-hmm. the first week of January 1923.
And what sparked that?
A group of oral histories collected in the 90s from both survivors and descendants have updated our understanding of what happened, and it appears that the event was really sparked by the claim by a white woman in neighboring Sumner, Florida, that an African-American male had assaulted her. It turns out that this is perhaps a lie. It was a lie to cover up an extramarital affair and an altercation she got into with that extramarital lover. This led to a group of local whites escalating hostilities over the following days until it culminated really on Saturday. So this begins on Monday. By Saturday, the entire town has come under attack. Mm. Basically, every black-owned building, homes, churches, and so forth are burned to the ground. Several individuals, at least six African-Americans and 2 whites are killed or sustain injuries that later lead to them dying during these altercations. And so by Sunday, so just under a week of this violence starting, of this lie being told, the entire town is no more. The local black population has been violently displaced, and they never return.
So the whole town is burned to the ground, but there's this one house that's still there today. It's the John Wright House. So who's John Wright?
So John Wright was a store owner. He was on friendly terms with many of his black neighbors. He actually harbored several families in his well or well house during part of that week. And he is one, certainly in a minority of the time, but one of probably 2 or 3 white families who are still living at Rosewood when these events took place.
And he helped a lot of people there escape what was going on.
He did. And in fact, descendants and a handful of survivors, when they began telling this story in the 80s and particularly the 90s, they actually commemorated him and his family's involvement in protecting some of the African Americans. And in effect, without his actions, the death toll may very well have been higher.
Why was his house spared?
You know, I don't know that I necessarily have a good reason for that. I suspect being white probably was a large part of that. Mm-hmm. It is possible that other white-owned structures survived those events but have not survived to the present. It's also possible that 1 or 2 of those structures may have survived to the present, and, you know, research is still ongoing on some of those sites.
So who's been living in the John Wright House for all these years?
A woman named Fujiko Scoggins, who purchased the house with her husband a couple decades ago. She still lives there, and her children, one of whom, her son, still live in the house. So she still lives there full time. My understanding is that they're selling because she's elderly now. The upkeep of this relatively large structure has become difficult. It's just, I think, time in her mind to go ahead and sell the property and move on.
And you would like to make sure that this house becomes a museum, a commemorative space. What's your vision for it?
I believe that this house, and in fact an adjoining property where I've done archaeological research for the past few years, which contains one of, if not the African-American cemetery, my vision would see that house converted into something like a local history museum that not only tells the history of Rosewood before and after the riot and the events of 23, but also contextualizes those in sort of local county history, something like a museum of rural African American history, so that it would do double duty. Those descendants still are active today. They maintain an interest. They have family reunions. The fact that they were tied to this place hasn't ceased just because they no longer live there.
So what's been the reaction to this idea?
So right now, obviously the house coming on sale is a relatively recent development. So there's a handful of folks, myself included, who've been interested in Rosewood for a number of years, either as descendants, research interests like myself. And we've brought together a fairly diverse group of people who are interested in working together. It includes descendants and their advocates. It includes local property owners and community leaders from that part of Levy County. And so far, I can say, I think the reception has been fairly positive. We have had people from outside the area reach out to us and inquire about getting involved, donations, and these sorts of things. So I think it could be a really popular destination, even though it is at least in part telling a tragic history.
Well, and put it in the context of what we are seeing now in terms of race relations in this country. Probably a lot of our listeners have never heard of the Rosewood Massacre, but what do you think it means when you look at what's happening today?
Well, this is actually a large portion of the reason I started doing research in Rosewood. I think that a lot of the social structures, the cultural attitudes that led to an event like a race riot. So Rosewood, I would love to say that it was a unique circumstance, but it unfortunately was all too common for these sorts of large-scale public episodes of violence, whether they were race riots or lynchings, throughout the 18 and really into the mid 1900s. I think that the lesson for Rosewood today is that a number of the conditions, prejudice, but also social structures that can insulate the worst perpetrators of these sorts of crimes, while we don't see these types of violence occur with the same frequency in the modern era, we do see a number of those structures and a number of those prejudices obviously surviving into the present. So I would say a large portion of my research has actually tried to find a way to theorize or understand how something like a race riot nearly 100 years ago still reverberates across time and impacts the present. Obviously, with the descendants, that's more clear. You know, we can all sort of frame this in a way that brings it closer to home. What if our grandparents, what if our families had been violently displaced? How would that have fundamentally changed our experiences in the present? But also contextualizing it in much broader terms. So how have the legal and social structures of the 1920s changed, mm-hmm. but also in part survived into the present? So there's multiple ways we can attach a tragic event like this in the past with, unfortunately, America's ongoing difficulty to deal with difference in the present.
How did you first hear about Rosewood?
So I began my graduate studies at the University of Florida in 2005. I'll confess I'm probably like a lot of the listeners, I had not heard of Rosewood mm-hmm. before this, even though I had an interest in African-American history. So in 2005, myself and other researchers at the University of Florida began, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, this was sort of a side project in addition to my graduate studies. By 2008, this had become my focus for my dissertation. You know, I'm in Orlando now. Gainesville, this is a place that's 1 to 2 hours from these large urban areas. And seeing how little scholarly attention it received, sort of, that was the final push mm-hmm. that galvanized me.
That's Edward Gonzalez Tennant, who is leading an effort to buy the John Wright House in Rosewood, Florida, and turn it into a museum. He is a visiting lecturer at the University of Central Florida. Very interesting. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.